You got to accentuate the positive. Wow! I feel good. A little bit of feel good goes a long way.
You're listening to Karen Swain, teacher of deliberate creation, accentuating the positive, showing you a way to a better life.
Accentuating the positive, it's not just fad, it's sanity. Who in their right mind would accentuate anything else?
If you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hey, g'day, welcome to another show, Accentuating the Positive with Karen Swain. We're going to fly around the universe today with our Star Nation family and the wonderful Kevin Briggs, who's going to update us on disclosure, what's happening on planet Earth. And remember, you're listening to Accentuate the Positive with Karen Swain on the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Public Radio Network on 107.7 and 105.5. Let's bring Kevin up. Howdy, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Karen. How are you? Thank
you. We're having a few... We're having a few tech issues, I'm afraid, with the internet. I don't know if it's my internet or Kevin's internet, but he's a little bit
not coming on the signal, say next week, but we'll just have to see. I've got a good visual here.
You've got a good visual there. Yeah, I've got a good visual here. I can never tell if it's my end or your end. Comments, Shirley's here. Woohoo! Hello, she says. Hello, Shirley. How are you, darling one? Let me tell you a little bit about Kevin. If you haven't seen him before, I talk about Kevin all the time, even on Preston's show when I was on with Preston and Dolly on the Lightgate. I was like, you've got to get Kevin on your show. Has he asked you to come on his show yet, Preston? He's like, a couple of people have mentioned Kevin. Can you hear me, Kevin?
Yeah, I can hear you. Just keep freezing. The sound just keeps freezing a little.
Maybe you could reset your computer. I'll do an intro. I'll read your bio and you can come back on.
Okay, I'll leave and come back then. Okay,
leave and come back. Beautiful. It might be his end. It might be my end. But let me tell you a little bit about Kevin. So Kevin, I met Kevin on probably about 5 years ago. I think he reached out to me or I reached out to him. I can't remember now. And I've had him on my show several times and as a guest in the Inner Sanctum. The Inner Sanctum is the online group we do on Zoom so that people get to actually interact with my guests. I usually pick about 12 a year from the year before when I've had guests on the show. I'll pick 12 of my favorite and people can come on and meet them face to face on Zoom, not in person. But so Kevin J. Briggs is an author and specialist in consciousness and connection to ETs and UFOs, or UAPs. Really, we should call them our Star Nation family and spacecraft or ships. I think the ET UFO thing is probably more for the mainstream, but I know that this audience is used to this conversation, which is so cool. His book, Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey, covers 56 years of his experiences with his Star Nation contacts and connections. He's had open physical contact with his Star Nation guides and family and buddies and friends since he was 8 years old, who are from Arcturus Planetary System in the Andromeda Galaxy, as well as other Star Nation beings from other star systems. He is connected to a galactic council of eight beings who are overseeing disclosure and the shift in consciousness on planet Earth at this time. I don't think they're the only beings overseeing disclosure and the shift in consciousness at this time, but they're definitely his back. I wonder if that's better. Yeah, that looks better, Kevin.
Oh, that's good. Hi, Karen. Thanks again for inviting me back on your show. I hope we don't lose the signal again. So,
that's much better. Now. Does look clear. Oh, live radio. I'm just reading out your bio, talking about you. So for the past, Kevin's spoken at many groups and ET UFO enthusiasts, who are always eager to hear his interactions and has published many articles in various magazines like the Truth Magazine. He's done quite a few things, but for the past 2 years, he's been working with Rebecca Hardcastle Wright and her Exo Consciousness community. They meet once a week and discuss different topics. And what you've written to me here is what's really interesting is that the members of the group are now being contacted by the Council of Eight and by Oort and Dee, which are your two main guides from Arcturus, the two that materialized in your bathroom when you were 8 years old, and there's a group discussion about it on the Exo Consciousness website. There is so who are you with on in the group in Exo Consciousness, Kevin?
Well, obviously Rebecca Hardcastle Wright is the founder of the Exo Conscious community, and then there's two or three different groups within the community, and we meet every Thursday, seven of us. And we talk about the different topics. In fact, we just had a meeting this week in relation to the Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson podcast. They were talking about UFOs, UAPs, and there were 9 million people watched it. So clearly people are interested in the subject. So we were then discussing it from the spiritual aspect, from the exo-conscious human community aspect, because all of us within the exo-conscious community have our own direct contact with our guides, our ETs, and now the Council of Eight, who I met, as you know, when I was eight and two materialized in my bathroom, Oort and Dee, the Arcturians. And then at 14, I was introduced to a further six. So we now have eight of the Council of Eight. We've got Oort and Dee, the Arcturians, Anna, Bluebird type being, Zark, he's a mathematician and engineer. He designs propulsion systems. He's from the Pleiades system. And then there's Ra, he's Anunnaki, and he leads the group. And then we have Targ, he's a tall grey, and he tells me he's responsible for the not only the security of the Council of Eight, but the security of this quadrant of the galaxy. I wasn't aware that the galaxy was split up into quadrants, but clearly it is. And then there's Chica, he's a mantis being, very old being, very wise, very well respected. I don't know a great deal about him because my main two guides are Oort and Dee. And the last one of the eight is Orla. And she tells me she's an astrobiologist. And she's a tall white. She has a pale complexion and her hair is translucent. So that would be the eight that I have had contact with now all my life. And I was eight when it started and I was 70 in February. So it's a lifelong contact with this group of eight. But they're now reaching out to others as well. So it's fascinating that it's not just me communicating with them. And there are other groups, other councils as well, that are here to assist with the full disclosure or what they call the reveal, when they reveal themselves globally to our species, to humanity, really.
Yes, Kevin was just saying he turned 70 this year. Woohoo, happy birthday. And, you know, what amazes me is, as you say, you've had contact with physical contact. Like I've got contact with my galactic mob, but I can't say they've physically shown up in my house. I'd like them to, but they don't. I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
I have. So Oort and Dee showed up physically when I was eight.
Right. Yeah. And so then, what's really interesting... we've still got a bit of lag. Sorry, the internet's doing strange things. What's really interesting to me, Kevin, is that you turned 70, as you said, this year, and they showed up when you were eight, and it was only about 5 years ago, was it 5 or 6 years ago, that they actually asked you to make your contact public. Like you said to me the first time I spoke to you on the show, you said to me, I would have gone to my grave and only a handful of people would have known about my experiences or my contact with my Star Nation family and your wife and your brother and maybe a friend or something. And yeah, and then they said to you, nope, time to talk. Why do you think they waited so long? So you were mid-60s in the time to like get you talking about this stuff.
Yes, it's an interesting question, is that, because clearly I've been educated throughout my life with an understanding of consciousness itself. It's not just about the ETs, it's about who we are as a species and about consciousness and shared consciousness. So, but then when they asked me to speak out about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago now, and how that happened, they materialized again in my bedroom. It was the middle of the night and I'd been to the bathroom. I came back from the bathroom, and a bright light appeared outside the bedroom window. It came in through the window, lit up the whole bedroom like a myriad of butterflies, but it was just pure white light. And then Ort and Dee, the two guys from who are Arcturian, from Andromeda, materialized at the bottom of the bed. And after pleasantries, I asked them what was the reason for their visit. And they said, Kevin, we want you to talk about your lifelong interaction with us. We want you to write about your lifelong interaction with us. And I said, well, I don't mind talking about it, but I'm not a writer. And Ort said to me, well, Kevin, you will write two books, and we will give you information to include in them, and we will continue to guide you and continue to teach you. So that's why I started talking out. And the following day, I told my wife about the visit, and I started writing my first book, Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey. And that's been very successful for me. A lot of people buy it. A lot of people enjoy reading it. And it's many of my experiences, not all of them, but many of the experiences outlining this contact with this Council of Eight. So, yeah. I think it's important to say that I'd now started receiving downloads of scientific information. I received a download of the quantum unified field theory, which I knew nothing about. I was sat by my pool, just relaxing, because I live in Florida, and most people have pools here. And I was given this download of information, all about this quantum unified field theory. And I said to them, look, you've just given me all this information. Can you show me a craft to show me that it's you that's giving me the information, and it's not my own imagination? And the craft appeared immediately. I went inside to get my wife to witness it. She came outside, and the second craft appeared, 3, 4, 5, 7 craft in total. They flew silently and slowly over my head, or our heads. They weren't very high up. And then they changed direction by about 80 degrees and then disappeared sequentially as they had arrived. So again, that was confirmation that the information had come from them direct as a download. And the reason for that was to explain, to give me an understanding of consciousness in relation to the quantum unified field theory. And I'm not a scientist, I'm just a regular guy. And then I had another download not so long after that about the theory of everything, just expanding our scientists' knowledge just a little bit further in relation to including consciousness within their own theories, really. But what's happened is they've educated me to a level of understanding consciousness where I can now communicate with them using consciousness as the modalities for communication, for travel, for healing, for education, for creation and co-creation at their level of consciousness. So I'm really just a messenger, really, a direct messenger from this particular group, this Council of Eight, as I've come to know them.
Yeah, you said that Ort and Dee are from Arcturus. Have they ever told you where you hang out when you're not in a physical body? Are you from there as well?
Well, they do say that I'm part of their extended family, except my physical is in the third dimension. And the only difference between the dimensions are the frequencies of consciousness that they resonate at. So I'm in the third dimension, they're in the fifth dimension. But once you understand consciousness, and now, as I've just said, it can be used for communication, for travel, for healing, education, creation, and co-creation, then you can access all these different levels of consciousness and travel as a multidimensional being, as they do. And we are being educated at that level. And there are many that do this now, but we're able to talk about it within our communities now. One time it was taboo, it was woo-woo. But now our scientists are catching up to it, and all the experiences all have knowledge of this and are sharing that knowledge and are reaching out to others to share the messages from our extraterrestrial star families.
Yeah, yeah. Consciousness. I was on a show the other day. Somebody else had me on their show, and she was saying, she asked me the question, what did my galactic guide share about technology? And I said, well, to me, about physical technology, not much, even though I'm interested in it, like anti-gravitic propulsion systems or anti-gravitic magnetic propulsion systems. Like, why aren't we flying around in spaceships. I'm interested in it, but I don't get any information about how to create that stuff. But I do get a lot of information about consciousness technology, which I think is the same information that they're giving you, right? They're giving you our consciousness technology. So we can do with consciousness what we do with our physical technology. Like we're using the internet, we're using a computer to connect and talk like this, but we could actually do that telepathically. We can have like a conference on the telepathic internet, really, couldn't we? We could do all that with our consciousness.
Yes, exactly. If you replace consciousness with the internet or vice versa, they're very similar. They send signals through our atmosphere, as it were, and we can do that with consciousness, and distance is no object. And that's why they explained to me the quantum unified field theory with the non-locality, the duality, the entanglement. But it's also the non-locality, duality, and entanglement of consciousness. And it's in all matter at the quantum level. And when you understand that, you understand why you have that duality. Why, and some people can even bilocate. I haven't done that, but I'm able to travel outside of the physical realms at will and have done since I was 9 years old. And there are many others that can travel outside of the physical realm. So what is the true physical realm? It's a question that many are trying to answer. But we are more than that. We are the physical realm, but we have this consciousness side to us, which allows us to do many other things, contact many other beings, many other societies, really. But we have to explore that. And I've been fortunate in the fact that the experiences that Orton D gave me were just that, an experience. They didn't sit me down in a classroom and educate me. They gave me an experience, and through that experience, I learned about consciousness itself.
Absolutely. Look, some of the stories that you've shared with me over the years are so great. Thanks, Aurora. Wonderful interview. Great information. I think so too. Kevin's one of my favorite guests because I've been talking to people for about 30 years, I think, first showcasing them in little meetings that we had every Monday night, and then about 15 years ago, going on radio. And Kevin, you're just one of my favorites because what you have been able to do and your experiences have been just so exponential compared to many of the people I speak to. A lot of people like me have their contact with their ET Star Nation family, their guides, but they don't physically show up. And I think that it was like when you were 9 when the orb showed up, and that gave you the awareness that you could at will leave your body and travel outside the physical body, astral adventures or out-of-body experiences. And you shared with me that you used to, as a kid, go over to your grandparents' place. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I can do. Yes, that was the first time that I was 9 years old, and an orb appeared in the I'd had some friends around. It was a Sunday. We'd been playing board games. We finished, we packed up the board games, and they left. I showed them out the back door, and when I turned back into the home, I felt the frequency in the home. And I went looking for this frequency, and I went into the living room, I went upstairs into the 3 bedrooms, back down into the kitchen, and I went back to the living room where the frequency was strongest. And I was drawn to the curtains by the window. I looked behind the curtains, and there was an orb there. It was 4 to 6 inches across, orangey, yellow, golden in colour, slightly vibrating. There was no communication, but clearly it was alive because it was moving. And I thought initially I'd brought it into the home. I hadn't, but I now know that that was Ort's pure conscious energy orb. And he actually stayed for a whole week. He stayed until Friday. When I came home from school on the Friday, I opened the back door and realized that the orb was no longer there. I walked towards the living room window, looked behind the curtain, and it had gone. But from that moment on, I was able to travel outside of the physical realm as pure conscious energy, as a pure conscious energy orb, as Ort had done. And I suspect that he activated something within my DNA. Our DNA are just light frequencies. And they have information in there, and that can be activated. And I suspect that's what he did. And as a child, I would only use it to go over to see my grandparents in Liverpool. I lived in Wakefield at the time in the UK, and I would relax, open my mind, and just travel over there. I would enter through the roof. I would go upstairs to their master bedroom, and there was a dressing room there, and there was a chair. I used to sit in that chair, look down through the floor, which was opaque, and I could see my grandmother usually on a Sunday cooking in the kitchen, and my grandfather reading the newspaper or watching TV, and it gave me great comfort to see them there. And I often wondered what would they see if they came upstairs. I know the answer to that now. They would have seen my pure conscious energy orb, 4 to 6 inches across, slightly vibrating, my conscious energy. Now, our ET star families, they all have this ability, and we as humans have this ability. We just haven't developed it. Fortunately, I was assisted by that, by Andy, and I continue to travel that way. And I've met them many times out of body, on the astral plane, even in a conscious craft that they created once. And I was flying on the astral plane just for pleasure. This craft came alongside me, and I was invited on board. I went through the skin of the craft, and as I went through, I realized it was conscious. Inside were two orbs. That was Alt and D. And on this particular occasion, they'd got a message they wanted me to give to someone, and I said I would convey the message. But I also asked them, I said, let me see if I understand this. Here we are, three beings traveling out of body on the astral plane in a conscious craft that you've created. And Alt said, yes, that's correct. And I said, I see you two as pure conscious energy orbs. And I described them. I said, how do you see me? And Alt said, we see you exactly the same. So that gives me the same abilities that they have. And obviously enhanced communication when you can not only communicate telepathically, but you can travel as a pure conscious energy orb, again, at their level of consciousness for that communication. So I think I'm very fortunate. To me, it's just normal.
I wanna make a point here, because here's the thing. As I said before, I've had Kevin on the show many times, and I've quizzed him a lot about his, you know, state of being and his consciousness. And one thing you said to me during one of our interviews is that I think you were a teenager before you realized that you actually never had a negative thought. It's like having a negative thought didn't occur to you. So when we talk about consciousness as humans, we are struggling to develop our consciousness because we're rolling around in the mud and the mire and criticizing and judging people and hating, and, you know, we're just marinating in negative thinking or fear-based thinking. And here you are as a teenager. I think that maybe other teenagers behind you were being teenagers tend to get sort of antsy, maybe more antsy than other kids, you know, hating and jealousy and all that. So you realized, oh, all these people are so negative. I've never felt like that before. So you were already very conscious, right? Like you were a highly evolved conscious being, not engaging and indulging in the dross that most humans do, right, Kevin?
Yeah, you've got an excellent memory, Karen, in relation to that. Yes, you're correct. I had to learn negative thoughts because I never had any. And I thought life was just positive and everything was positive. Mm-hmm. And so it shows that how our thoughts can create our reality. In relation,
how they can, how they do. Yeah,
how
there
they
we go.
Create our reality. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, it's fascinating now that I have this contact, and I speak to many groups, and people are very interested in it. And now I've even had some leading scientists contact me just recently and asked me to ask Alt and D. Well, that's a huge leap, I think, for our scientific community, whether a leading scientist asks me to ask two higher conscious beings, extraterrestrials, whatever label you want to put on them. And he asked me to ask them what they knew about the void. I'd never heard of the void. I had no clue what it was. In fact, I forgot for a couple of days. And I thought, oh, I haven't asked them. I'd better ask Alt and D. So I asked them, what information do you have about the void? And they gave me an equation for the void. And they said it was the void of consciousness. And that's where timelines are created and co-created. They gave me an equation with an explanation for it. But then I also realized that when I was about 17, Alt came to visit me one day, and he said to me, where would you like to go, Kevin? And just jesting, I said, I'd like to go to the end of the universe. And he said, right. So we set off. He took hold of my hand. I left my body. We went up and up and up and just kept going up and up. And I could see the blue earth getting smaller and smaller. And then we started traveling out through the solar system, just kept going and going and going. And I kept tight hold of his hand because we'd traveled so far, I didn't know where I was. I was lost. And I said to him, I hope you know the way back because I am lost. And after a while, we stopped and sat down. And I said to him, are we at the end of the universe? And he said, no, we are at the end of consciousness. But there's plenty of space out there for consciousness to expand. I didn't understand that then, but I do now. We were at the edge of the void of consciousness. The void of consciousness is a part of consciousness. It's just the divide where creation and timelines are created. Anyway, I conveyed the equation with the explanation to the leading scientist. He understood the equation and he understood it. I mean, it's just amazing. And as I saw earlier that Aurora, a friend of mine, she now has contact with the Council of Eight. She's channeling portraits of them, depicting their
That's Aurora.
As she sees them.
Hi, Aurora.
They're fascinating portraits.
Well,
but within is the energy. It's just amazing, really.
Right. Okay, you're answering a question that I had. So Auden D appeared to you physically when you were eight, but they've appeared to you many times physically. But like when you look at them through your physical eyes, through your outside eyes, you see physical structures, physical bodies in front of you. But yet when you're out of body, flying in their conscious craft, you're looking at orbs. And the question begs, how do you recognize them if you're looking at energy orbs? Can you hear me? Did you hear that, Kevin?
Can you repeat the question, please?
When you see Auden D as energy orbs, how do you recognize them?
Oh, right, that's a very good question. It's like being one. You know who it is. You know who the orb is. You have that oneness of consciousness, that one unity of consciousness where you can create the thoughts and you have the telepathic communication. So you recognize the frequency of who they are. You
recognize the frequency. Yeah, like the energy signature. But
again, I've had all eight in my bedroom one evening a while ago. They showed me how to create a conscious craft myself. So I created a conscious craft and I went looking for the Council of Eight and I couldn't find them. So I came back into my body and then all eight appeared in my small bedroom. Together with a mothership. So I looked up at the ceiling and I was quite annoyed because I'd been out looking for them. And I said, where have you been? I've been looking for you. And all eight are just in the bedroom, in the ceiling, looking down at me. And they said, yes, we know you've been looking for us. That's why we are here. And then I asked them, I said, well, how can all eight appear in my bedroom? And how can you have a mothership here in my bedroom? And they explained how it was happening. I didn't understand it, but it's in relation to space, time, and dimensions, which they clearly alter using, I suspect, thought and consciousness itself. So, fascinating that our physical reality is just part of the greater reality of consciousness itself, I'm sure.
Yeah, everything is energy. Yeah.
And if you can leave the physical behind, you can access all these different levels of consciousness.
I guess the physical, like any other thing, is a state of frequency, a state of mind, a state of belief. It's a belief structure. So the other question I was going to ask you about Auden D, when they appear to you physically and then they appear as energy orbs, do they have a physical sleeve, like a physical body they put on, like we put on our physical bodies and then leave them at night when we sleep? Or do they do they create the image through their consciousness of what they look like physically?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I know when they appeared in the bathroom, they looked real and physical to me. When they appear in the bedroom, they look real and physical. Now, whether it's a projection or whether if I was get up, could I touch them? I don't know. But they look real when I see them. When the Council of Eight, I met the Council of Eight when I was 14. Now, I could have touched them then because they were in our reality, in our third dimension, and I was introduced to them all. So really, it's transcending these different dimensions, these different frequencies. If you can manipulate these frequencies, you can travel between the dimensions, which you are doing really when you travel outside of the physical realm, because you're leaving those lower frequencies behind and traveling as pure conscious energy. And you can, I know on one occasion I went to travel to another planet. I created a conscious energy craft. I went to the planet. I went to Andromeda out that way. And I found this planet and I circled around the planet and it had clouds on it. And I wondered then, if I went down through the clouds, would I be seen as a UFO? Because I'm in a conscious energy craft as a conscious energy orb that I've created this craft and I've flown to another planet. So will they see me as a UFO? I suspect so. And I think there are both conscious craft, physical craft, there are physical beings, and then there are conscious beings that are traveling as pure conscious energy. But because they have the ability to do all of these, it could be any of those that we are seeing in our physical realm or just outside it or at a higher, slightly higher frequency.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much to learn about all this stuff. There's so much to learn. So this is something that's fascinated me for a long time. Somebody else that I've had on the show, Garnet Schulhauser, had a spirit guide turn up as a physical homeless man, and he could touch him and see him as physical and smell him because he said that he smelled like a dead fish or something. So he had all the physical experiences going on, see, smell, touch, you know, hearing, he could hear him. But then his spirit guide, Albert, revealed to him later that he was the only one having that experience. No one else could see him. So how that happens just fascinates me. Again, on this other show that I was on, talking about how the guides talked to me about consciousness technology, in the book Autobiography of a Yogi, the yogi whose guru called Sri Rukteswar had transitioned out of the physical experience, he remanifested back into the physical after he died to come back and say, you see, we're not really dead, but he had appeared to him again as physical and then disappeared again, like he could manifest a physical body. And then, so this is what I wonder if Orton D are doing, like rather than giving birth to a physical body, can they just manifest it with their consciousness so that you experience
it? Yes, that's a possibility. Yes, I do. I know I was on another occasion, I was traveling outside of the physical realm as a pure conscious energy orb. I've been out to look at the rings of Saturn and just out through our local planets, really. And I was coming back and I materialized on a small craft, and the craft was transporting minerals from the Earth to the Moon. And there were two greys flying this craft. They looked round at me and said to one another telepathically, what's he doing here? So really, I'm in two places. My physical body is at home in the bed. My conscious energy is in an orb, but then I materialize on the craft as a physical being. They see
me. Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. And then I said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be here. And I left. So I have that ability that they have in relation to accessing those levels of consciousness, but then materializing as a physical being. So that's what they do. But then when I came back into my body, I entered my body, I woke up, there was a tall grey stood there, and he came to warn me not to interfere. He was more like a policeman type or a military type, but he warned me not to go there and not to interfere. But then he disappeared and a reptilian appeared, and he didn't like the human race. He thought we were inferior, but he was curious. He wanted to know how a mere human being could travel outside of the physical realm, materialize on a craft, and understand telepathic communication. So that's why he came. He didn't speak, but I knew what he was thinking, and he was ambivalent to the human race. He didn't like us. We were just like ants to him. But he left. But it was a demonstration that we can, I suppose, bilocate if you separate that consciousness. Once you've separated that consciousness, it can become material again at these different levels. So I suppose that really answers your question, really. I hadn't thought about that before. But that experience would explain that. And again, that's how they teach me, by giving me experiences of shared consciousness, shall we say.
Shared consciousness. Yeah, the reptilian thought we were like ants. Yeah, I can understand that. But he couldn't figure out how you did it, being a measly human. Doesn't he know that there are all these ETs here on Earth in human bodies that know this stuff like you can? Like, there's lots of you.
I've come to the conclusion that I think some ETs materialize in as physical form.
Absolutely.
And, you know, without a doubt. So, and some people can recognize them and some people can't. I know some people can see the auras of people, and dependent on the aura will depend on who. So there's a lot that we can still learn. There's a lot, huge amount that we don't know.
Oh, yeah, God.
So we just have to keep exploring these avenues, really.
As you were talking about it, I got a bit of a download about how all this happens. But I want to remind people that you're listening to Accentuate the Positive Awakening Consciousness with Karen Swain, and I'm talking with Kevin Briggs today on the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 and 105.3. And we are flying around the universe. So they were showing me when you were talking, they were telling me, showing me, they kind of show me, that just like we have astral experiences and we can appear as a replica of our human experience. I've had this with a dead friend who killed herself when she was 36. And I was in an astral experience with her, and I was saying to her, I was hugging her, and I knew I wasn't in my physical body. I was outside of my physical body, but still appearing as I looked at the time in my physical body. And I'm saying, why do you feel like you're physical? Like, I can hug you and feel your body. And I know you're dead, and I know I'm not in my body. So I'm having like a physical type experience with her in an astral body. And they're saying that this replica, they're showing me it's like an astral form. And then I ask them, so how do we perceive the astral form when mostly we don't? And that's where our DNA clicks in, to be able to perceive an astral form from a physical experience, from a physical body, means that you have to have a different level of consciousness. You said, Kevin, that you asked if your grandparents saw you, would they see an energy orb? And my guide said only if they had a heightened level of consciousness. Otherwise, you would appear in your energy body as invisible to them, because they can't perceive it through their physical perceptual experience.
Yes, that would be my understanding. And that'd be why sometimes, say, you have a group of 10 people or 20 people at a CE5 group, mm-hmm. where they're reaching out and making contact. Mainly, sometimes you'll get 10 people seeing the craft, and the other 10 people cannot see the craft.
That's
so
right.
It depends on your frequencies of consciousness. And if we understand that all life has that frequency of consciousness and dimensions have that frequency of consciousness, then if you can access those frequencies, then you can travel outside of the physical realm, which are lower, heavier frequencies. But they keep us bound here. And I'm sure I would, my brother's, he doesn't have any of these abilities traveling outside of the, on the astral plane as I do, but I'm sure I wouldn't if it hadn't have been for Orton D. But then they educated me, and I'm no different from anybody else. I'm sure we can all be educated to this level of understanding and to expand our greater reality, to include the higher conscious beings, to include the extraterrestrials, to include the craft that are flying around in our atmosphere all day long. We don't see them because they're at a higher frequency. But then some people see them on a regular basis. Why? Because once you see them, that activates those frequencies, I believe, then it makes it more accessible to you to see them.
Exactly. And I want to reiterate what we were talking about before. Enabled to have a broader perceptual experience, a more expanded consciousness, we do have to clean up our negative thoughts, because indulging in negative thinking does keep us locked out of that perceptual expansion. So I have seen orbs in my house all the time, but unlike you, Kevin, and your experience with, I think it was Dee, wasn't it? And he hung around for a week or so and changed your DNA when you were nine. When I look at the orb, they disappear. Like, I'll see it not exactly at the periphery, but not directly in front of me, a little bit off to the side, and then I'll look and it'll disappear. The other night, like the night before last, I'm in bed watching television, and right next to the television, I saw this orb, and it was like sacred geometrics. It was golden and blue and white, and it was moving, like folding in on itself, like a star tetrahedron. And I saw it just again on my periphery, because I looked at the television, and when I looked at it, like, whoa, I lose it. I don't know why I can't see it when I look directly at it. Maybe I've got to clean up my negative thinking more, Kevin.
Yeah, I never thought about that as negative thinking, restricting what you say, but it's probably, that's why you have to, I think there's a difference between believing and knowing something, but when you know something, you don't have to believe because you know it. And it might be as simple as that. Perhaps words, knowing, knowledge are all frequencies. So if we have the words and the knowledge, then those frequencies allow us to access higher levels of consciousness, higher frequencies. Yes. Like I say, words themselves, I think, have frequencies.
Yes. Well, the belief behind the words, absolutely. When Preston was on my show a few weeks ago, he was saying that he deliberately taught himself to astral travel to remember his astral travels at night. And when he was out of his body at night, hanging out with his dead and alive relatives, he would go up to his brothers and sisters who were still having a physical experience. They weren't dead as we, and said, and he realized that they were completely conscious out of body. Like they, it's like, do you know you're out of your body? And they go, of course we know we're out of our body. And he said, well, will you remember when you wake up in the morning? And they said, no, we don't know how to do that. No, I don't know how to do that. And he said, why not? Why don't you do that? But they just don't remember. So it's that remembering, like you said about your brother, he doesn't have these astral experiences, but he does every night. He just doesn't remember, like Preston's brother didn't remember, and his sister. So it's that expansion of consciousness that allows us the memory of who we are as multidimensional, in and out of body simultaneously, right? That's the work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go on.
Yes, I suspect that is too, because I know when I was a young child, my mother would say to me, it's time for bed. And I'd go to bed because I knew when I went to bed, I could go anywhere I wanted to go. I could go and travel. I would think about very often, where shall I go tonight? What shall I do? What shall I go and explore? So it wasn't going to bed and going to sleep for 8 hours. I was off on another journey. But again, I thought that was quite normal. And I could even explore past lives by doing that, because I think that, I don't fully understand it, but we're able to do that. But I know that it's consciousness that's the key, consciousness that's a conduit for this greater reality that we live in, that we share with others, with the multidimensional beings, with the higher conscious beings, with the extraterrestrials. I suppose it's a bit like the ants at the bottom of my garden. You know, they don't know I'm here. If I go down and stamp on their ant nest, then they all come out and see what's going on. But apart from that, they don't know me. I can't communicate with them at their level because they communicate with chemicals and things. And they're not really bothered about me anyway. But perhaps it's the same with the different levels of consciousness. They're in my consciousness of the ants, but at a lower level of consciousness. So I'm not able to communicate directly with them. although I do have a story with my brother who has some ants. He lives in Spain, and there's some ants coming on to his worktop in the kitchen, and he just sprayed them with some insect killer. I said, well, you don't have to spray them. I said, just tell them you don't want them on the countertop, but give them a reason, and tell them the reason why you don't want them on the countertop is because you prepare food there. And if you do continue to come on the countertop, unfortunately, I will have to kill you. And he said that to them, and all of them turned round about from one, and they all went back down the hall. And I said, what did you do with the one? He said, I killed it. So, you know, we can communicate with these insects at levels of consciousness, but we not through the chemical communication that they use. I also had another experience with my brother. Really, it's an example of communication using consciousness as a conduit with the insect realm. He retired and he moved down to Spain. And he said to me one day while we were having a Zoom, he said, Kevin, you should see the size of the butterflies here. They're huge. We have butterflies in the UK, obviously, but not as big as they have in Spain. I said, well, why don't you go out onto the balcony and ask the butterfly to come and land on your hand? But I said, you'll need a reason for it to do that. So the reason is you want to look at the beautiful colours on its wings. So he indulged me. He said they won't do that, but he went out onto his balcony. This butterfly flew past. He said to it, yeah, I'd like you to come and land on my hand so I can examine the beautiful colours. It went out of sight. It turned around. It came back and landed on his fingers, on his hand. I said, right. And I was watching this. It was live on Zoom. And I said, right, now what you need to do, ask it to go away and come back with a friend because you want to compare, but you need a reason again. You want to compare the colours on its friend's wings. So he asked it, it took off, it flew out of sight, it came back, it landed back on his fingers and it brought a friend and it landed on his forehead and he compared the colours of the wings. On that particular day, he had 12 butterfly landings on him. The following day, he said to his wife, come on outside, we'll go and ask the butterflies to come and land on us. He went outside, three or four butterflies came and landed on his wife's arm, landed on her glasses, landed on a book when she was reading. Once you make that contact through consciousness, then it expands our reality. He now communicates with the butterflies. He has them landed on him when he makes a request. And this is the level of understanding of consciousness that he has now because he tried it, he practiced it. He was open-minded to learning about it. I now call him the butterfly whisperer. So, but it's a great example of an experience of using consciousness for communication.
Absolutely, the butterfly whisperer. But again, Kevin, when you are communicating with different levels of consciousness, there is a great appreciation there. Like you can't do it, I found. A lot of people have found communicating with animals that if you try and communicate with anger, it gets you nowhere. But if you communicate with appreciation and gratitude or love, you're going to have much better time at getting your point across, if you like, rather than being angry at the ants. Get out of my kitchen. You can say, lovely to have you here, but please leave.
Exactly. He had to give the ants a reason. Yeah, please leave, yeah. But it just shows that level of communication that we do have. We just don't use it. We're not taught it. And we don't really respect the animal realms, the different realms that are here sharing our shared consciousness. They're part of it. And we have that ability to communicate with them if we desire to, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you've also been up on craft. You've been up on the ships and you've seen your galactic family, your galactic mob up on the ships in their physical bodies. I wonder how that all happens. If they can sort of hang out as energy orbs, when they congregate and have meetings on ships to sort of, you know, discuss the state of the universe or the state of planet Earth or how to evolve human consciousness, they're all showing up in a physical form. How does that work? Do you know, Kevin?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think they have the physical craft, the nuts and bolts craft, and then they have the conscious craft that they can create. But that's from a different realm. That's from the out-of-body realm, from a higher level of consciousness. But they can travel that way as well. I suppose like me, I can go into an aeroplane and fly in an aeroplane in the physical aeroplane and go from A to B. But I can also travel outside of the physical realm and travel as a pure conscious energy. what's that they do? Only their aircraft are circular. They've got different propulsion systems, and they don't obey our laws of physics because they've got a better understanding of physics than we have. So it's really, we can do what they do, but we just have to learn how to do it, really. We'll say, I'm sure perhaps we have some anti-gravity craft of our own now. It's really be old technology. I know I was asked a few years ago by an engineer. He said to me, Kevin, what did your ETs know about the propulsion system for anti-gravity? I said, I don't know. I don't know anything about it, but I'll ask them. So I asked them, and they gave me a download with like a schematics and explanation of how an anti-gravity propulsion system worked. And I sent it to him, and he was fascinated by it. Whether he wanted to try and build it or not, I don't know. But it was fairly simple from my perspective, what they gave me. But and they also said that the reason why they glow when they're in our atmosphere, because it excites the engines, the propulsion system, excites the ions in the atmosphere. So we see a glow. And that time when I saw the 10 craft, they were all glowing. They were big balls of like spheres just flying in unison, changing direction. So that would explain that. So I think that they have both.
So at will, they can be in their physical body or outside their physical body. I guess when we expand our consciousness, we can do that at will too. Like, you have that ability to do that. Another story that you mentioned on a show we did once was when you were a kid and you were bored on the bus, you used to just pop out of your body and fly behind the bus.
You got an amazing memory, Cameron. I never talk about that. But
many people tell me those types of things. As I said, I've been talking to people for years and I still haven't heard those types of, like, I would love to have that level of consciousness. I do not. I have clear open communication with multiple levels of, you know, consciousness, but I don't have that command of being able to just pop out of my body at will and pop in. But I guess the ETs do. They have that command. They can, like, pop in, pop out. They're, like, completely in control of whether they want to appear physical or astral or be an energy orb or, yeah, like, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure. And obviously, again, when I was doing that, I was about 18 probably at the time, traveling to work on the bus, and I think, oh, it's a beautiful day. I'll just leave my body and fly behind the bus. I mean, but to me, it was just normal. And, like, you know, leaving my apartment in the morning and deciding which bus stop to go to because of the different lengths of the bus lines. And I would nip out the body, fly up to the bus stops and see which was the best one to go to. Or I'd say if I was going around to see a friend, it was a 10-minute walk. So instead of walking 10 minutes and he wasn't there, I just nipped over first, made sure he was at home, and then walked around. So natural to me. And I can still do that if I want to do that.
Do you do that?
Yes, it's still natural. I can go anywhere. Very often, not so long ago, I thought, oh, I'll go and have a look at the Eiffel Tower. So I just relaxed. I went over there to have a look at the Eiffel Tower. I'm flying around. I think, well, there's no tourists here. And there's all these armed policemen. What's going on? And I thought, oh, I'm not quite sure. Anyway, I come back to my body. And then later on in the day, I was watching the news. There'd been some threat. So they'd cleared all the tourists and put the police out around the Eiffel Tower. So it was really confirmation that I was just there. I went to have a look. I just thought, oh, I'll go over there and have a look. Or sometimes I'll go to Russia and have a look at the buildings, the architecture there. It's fascinating. But it's just you pop out and go and you come back, like going to the shops.
Let me ask you this, Kevin. Are you actually leaving your body and flying in your astral form, or are you projecting your consciousness? Because that's two different things, because I know how to project my consciousness and go and look anywhere in the world, but I'm still sitting here in my body. Like, I remember during, I was telling Preston when I was on his show, during the Australian fires in 2020, I was in the shower and I was outside of my body looking at the underneath a ship, magnificent ship. And then the next minute I'm in the ship looking at these greys holding marsupials, and they said to me, don't worry, you know, the animals won't go extinct. We have their DNA, and we have some of them on, we've rescued some of them. We'll put them back after the fires. But I was aware that I was still inside my body. So I wasn't leaving my body at that point. You know, what's the difference when you...
Okay, well, I can explain, really. I consider it like three different levels of conscious frequencies. Say I'm sat here now and I want to go on remote view, say the Eiffel Tower, because we mentioned it. So I can go on remote view the Eiffel Tower. That is a level of consciousness. If I want to leave my body and travel on the astral plane, that's a higher level of consciousness.
Go and see the
other areas, say like the Eiffel Tower. But then the next level of consciousness will be traveling as a pure conscious energy orb. So you've got three levels there of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then above that, you've got consciousness that you can use for creation. So I'm able to create a conscious craft, travel in that conscious craft as a conscious orb. And when I first did that, I was a bit frightened because I saw what I thought all these stars were flying past me, and they weren't stars. They were galaxies. I was really traveling at the speed of thought, I suspect, and I ceased the experiment. So then I designed a interface thought navigation system. So where I think, I go, and integrate it into the conscious craft. So now I can travel in a conscious craft as a conscious energy orb. So that's the next level of consciousness, utilizing the communication, the travel, the healing, the education, creation, and co-creation. There are many levels of these, of consciousness itself. And again, I've only been able to do this because I've been given examples with Orton D.
Well, you've been given examples, but did they, like, if you were going to teach somebody how to raise their consciousness so that they could do that, what would you teach them? What would you say to them? Or what did Orton D say to you? You're putting you on the spot now.
Well, as I said, they didn't sit me down in the classroom. On one occasion when I met them on the astral plane, Ort said to me in this conscious craft, he said, "Kevin, why don't you travel further?" And I said, "It's all right for you. You've got D to travel with. You've got a conscious craft that you've created that you travel in." I said, "It's okay for you, but I can't create a craft." He said, and Ort said, "Well, why don't you create your own conscious energy craft?" I said, "Well, I don't know how to do it." He said, "Use thought and consciousness." So that evening, I thought I would try that, and I did. I created a craft, but I didn't have a navigation system, and I nearly got lost, and it frightened me a little bit. So I created the thought interface navigation system, created a new craft, and now because of that, I can create conscious energy craft and go and travel as a pure conscious energy orb, just exactly what they do. Only I'm doing it as a human species, a human being, and they do it as Arcturians or Greys or tall whites or whatever. All these different species have these abilities, and we have them. We just have to learn how to use them.
Yes. I'm chatting with the mob as I'm talking to you, and they're telling me things. I'm saying things like, you know, if you've got the ability to travel in different dimensions as an energy orb or an astral, why would you want to have a physical? And they said, "Oh, wow, physical experience is so fun. It's so extraordinary. It's wonderful having physical experience, no matter what planet you're on, whether you're on Earth or in a ship or on another planet. It's great to be able to have that choice of having a physical experience in one moment and an astral experience in another, and, you know, you can project your consciousness in one moment and be an energy orb. And then having that ability to, like, shift between gears at will, like, I'm going to have this experience now and then this experience now." And they're saying humans don't understand. Humans do it, but they don't understand they have the choice to be able to do it. They also said to me when I was asking, how do we do that? They said, "Well, it's the same as anything else you create. You have a thought and then you line up the thought." And so they were saying that humans don't do it because they don't believe they can do it. They don't know they can do it. But it's, again, to do with belief. And when you know and believe that you can do something, you'll do it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's pretty simple, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it is. It is as simple as that. That's right. The power of thought, the power of consciousness itself. But I would agree with you. I love being in the physical realm. It's so beautiful. Interacting with other people, interacting with all the nature, the animals, the insects, even the ants who bite me. It's all part of that shared consciousness. And when you look at the life around you, I go out and sit in a chair in the under a big sycamore tree, and the amount of life that's there, that's surrounding you, that's going on, it's another dimension, you might say. You've got ants here, you've got insects, you've got grasshoppers, you've got butterflies, you've got dragonflies, you've got squirrels, you've got larger animals all wandering about doing their own thing. What a great place to be in the physical and be part of that. I remember one occasion, there was this big grasshopper. We have some big grasshoppers here in Florida. And I saw it, and I was sat in this chair, and it was about, 10 feet away from it, and it hopped. And it came towards me. I thought, you're going to land on me. I know you are going to land on me. And it hopped again a bit closer. Then it hopped to the left about 6 feet. But then it came back again. And I said to it, I know you're going to jump on me. Well, it leapt and it landed on my shirt about here. And then I looked at it. It was ugly. It was a big grasshopper. And it started walking up my shirt, up towards my collar. And I said, I don't mind you landing on me, but don't go down my collar. Go and sit on my shoulder. It changed direction and it sat on my shoulder for about 5 minutes and then it jumped off. But if I hadn't have sat there and interacted with that insect, but what a great pleasure to share that moment of consciousness with another being. Another being. Absolutely. I'm already sat under a sycamore tree, which is another being, another life form. Which is attached to the planet Earth. There's as many roots as there are leaves on the tree. But we have to recognize that and then enjoy this physical that we are in, with the added advantage, if you can relax, meditate, open your mind, then share the greater realities of the consciousness that surround us at the higher levels. So, I just feel fascinated, privileged to be here in the physical. I know many years ago when I was younger, my higher conscious family wanted me to stay with them. And I said, no, I'm enjoying my physical. I like it down there and I've got things I want to do. Well, I'm still enjoying my physical. I like it down here. And I know when my physical does expire, I'll go to a higher level of consciousness. And then if I choose to come back again, I can come back and explore another physical, another life, another dimension. And that's the beauty of having the knowledge that we have.
I think I've said this. Sorry, I think I've said this on pretty much every, interview, show, conversation I've had with you. And of all the people that I have spoken to over the years, I think you're one of the first or the only people that have ever said how much they're enjoying their physical when they have the ability to be outside of it consciously or with awareness or deliberately. Many people who've had NDEs or spiritually transformative experience, and they reach the higher realms and experience the bliss and the energy frequency of the higher realms, and they come back into density. They're like, get me out of here. I don't want to be physical anymore. But you say, I'm enjoying my physical, and you really do. You enjoy throwing a steak on the barbie and having a beer with mates and doing all that it is like what humans do, you don't sort of sit around and in yoga sessions like a lot of people in the spiritual community do. You just really enjoy being human, right, Kevin?
Yes, that's the key. They just to end. I know people have some people have very difficult lives. There's a lot of turmoil on the planet at the moment, but that's why I feel so privileged, because I've been given the information. And having understand it, I use it, I utilize it, and I try to share it with others, as many as I can. And like being on your podcast today, Kevin, without people like yourself, I can't get that information out there. And there'll be other people that are having these experiences and they don't know what's really happening to them. So when they hear people like myself and Preston Dennett, you had him on your show, and many others who speak out about it now, the many experiences. I like the word experiencer, because we have that those experiences that we can share. And like with the exo-conscious community, with Rebecca Hartcastle, that's an amazing community of people like myself. with all these different abilities, but all human abilities. We must express that these are human abilities. We are evolving as a human species with the assistance of our ET star families. That's the beauty. And they're no threat to us. They are here to assist. They tell me that they will share their technologies with us. They're already doing that with, I think, Dr. Sandra Rose Michaels and her EE system healing machines or computers. They use scalar energy, scalar frequencies to repair the bodies and things. That's technology from our extraterrestrials. So they're already sharing some technologies. And when we have open contact with the reveal itself, then they are willing to share more technologies with us to enhance our human life here, to protect our planet, to help with the pollution that we are causing, with new technologies to help clean it up. So there are exciting times ahead if we open up to the fact and accept their help and assistance, both in learning about consciousness and then learning about the extraterrestrials. So
Absolutely. You know, I had this epiphany just then as you were speaking about consciousness. When we're physical and then we expand our consciousness or awaken our consciousness, we have that deliberate choice to be physical, non-physical, astral. You know, we can have that choice of experiencing different experiences. But when we're dead, we have other, we can be astral or we can be, you know, energy orbs, but then we've taken away one of the experiences, like we've got less experience to have. So in a way, being physical and having the ability to be all the others simultaneously gives you a broader playground, if you like, a broader things to play with. Yeah. Yes,
it's like having your cake and eating it. So
a friend of mine died when she was 40. She was born affected by the drug thalidomide, and so she was very sick her whole life. She had a pretty traumatic life, but she did a lot of personal growth courses, and we started some spiritual groups. She used to come to my spiritual groups. We started them together and started to see that maybe it was a choice to come in as that, as a sick person, for the experience that it would give her. And after she died, I was in the ocean, and she came to me and she said, "Enjoy the touch of the ocean, Karen. Enjoy the feeling of the water on your skin." She said, "To me, it's just a memory now." And she was just reminding me, after she left her physical body, of, you know, to really appreciate all that it is to be physical, that we can't appreciate, that we can remember it and we can conjure it up through thought and memory, but to have that physical experience of water on your skin and all the things that, you know, eating chocolate and all the things that we do as physical beings.
Yes, I would agree entirely. But obviously she's learnt that now because she's passed to the higher level of consciousness and then really appreciates the physical, even though she did have some disabilities. She's still appreciated that physical realm because it has those things, like you say, the feel of the ocean, the feel of the water, eating chocolate. I've just had some chocolate this evening, actually. So, simple things that give us simple pleasures. That make us happy, and they don't have to be expensive pleasures. Like I say, I can sit in that chair in my yard for a couple of hours, and it's free entertainment. You'd be surprised at what's going on out there. There's all sorts. There's big parties with all the insects and things, and just amazing.
Yeah, it's an amazing realm, the physical realm. It offers a lot of trauma to experience, but it offers a lot of beauty. And and I just want to remind people that you're listening to Accentuate the Positive Media. That's what ATP stands for, with Karen Swain. And I'm talking with Kevin Briggs on the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 and 105.3. I think it streams out of New Orleans and different places all over the world. We're streaming on Facebook and Twitter and all over the place. So this is an interesting question from Kansun. Kansun, I don't know how to pronounce your name, Lee. I hope I'm not butchering your name. Do you believe things like binaural music could heal the physical body? What do you think about that, Kevin?
Well, yes, certainly frequencies can heal the human body. When you think that our cells they have their own frequency, And if the frequency is out of alignment, then you get diseased cells. And I think that music is a great healer in itself if you reach the right frequency. And look how music makes us happy. I mean, there are many different types of music. And I know many years ago, I read about the Rife machine. Dr. Rife, in the 1930s, I think it was, he developed a machine that had sound frequencies. And then he resonated these frequencies at tumors, and the cells vibrated at a certain frequency, and then they burst, killing the tumor cells. Well, that in itself is using a frequency of sound. And the binaural music that this question was about is probably similar to that. We can heal through music, we can heal through sound, we can heal through light frequencies. That's what the EE system does in relation to Dr. Rose Michaels. So, but again, there are frequencies of sound, even your frequencies of color. What about when we see artwork with these beautiful colors and things? Then that's healing. The energies come out of the artwork, out of the colors, out of the energy of the colors. The energies of the rainbows and things, it's all frequencies. And we can absorb those frequencies and keep ourselves healthy. I think Dr. Emoto did a lot of work with water itself. I think he's passed now. But he said water had emotions, it had memory, and it had healing abilities. So if we're able to communicate with consciousness, the consciousness of the cell, and speak to the cell and the water within the cell, then we can heal ourselves. Just using thought and consciousness. And at the same time, listen to like music that you like. Make yourself happy. Put yourself into that frequency where you feel good, where you feel healthy. Heal yourself. That's the key. I think there's so many things that we can do to keep ourselves healthy, happy, and alive in this physical for as long as we can. I've already been shown my next incarnation, Karen, anyway. Have you? So I'll probably come back and see you in that one.
Are you a man or a woman?
I'm a man, yeah.
And you're a man. On Earth,
yes. And I meet my future wife in Brazil, believe it or not. So, yeah, I'm not sure
why. And is it same wife you've got now, same soul of the wife you've got now?
It's the same soul, yes.
Nice. Oh, that's so cute, little team.
I don't know why they told me that, but yes, it's... It's the same soul. I don't know whether Sandy would be too happy with that, spending another 40 years with me, but.
Ah, oh, she loves it. Yeah, absolutely. I want to reiterate what you're saying. Yeah, it's our belief. Our beliefs create our reality. And, you know, it's interesting. If you do something like binaural beat music or, you know, get in a med bed or an energy, you know, a healing thing, or go to a healer or a chiropractor or a doctor, or anything that you reach out to for healing, or change your diet, or take your vitamins, or take your drugs, if you're not lined up with it and you're not lined up with health, it's not going to work. To me, our allopathic system, it amazes me that so many people reach out to the allopathic system to heal, and we ingest poisons and we heal, even though we're ingesting all this poison, because we believe in it. We believe in the doctor and his expertise and his education. And probably the majority. But it's amazing to me how powerful our beliefs are. So whatever we attempt, whether it's meditation or some external thing, if we do it with alignment and of health, we can heal anything, right, Kevin?
I think without a doubt, yes. I mean, I know I'm 70 now, but I'm perfectly healthy. I don't take any drugs. I take a vitamin C every morning because my wife makes me. But apart from that.
Good on you, Sandy.
Apart from that, I don't take anything, you know. So, but that's because it's the power of thought, I'm sure. And if I do become ill, then I ask for help from the higher conscious beings. Quite a few years ago, I had a couple of moles on my left elbow and one on my right wrist. And I had them for many years, and they never give me any trouble. And then all of a sudden, they started itching, cracking, and bleeding. And I Googled them, and it showed the exact same things and said there was skin melanoma. So I decided that evening when I went to bed, I would ask my ET guys if they could remove them. So I said to them, before I fell asleep, because it's always a good time to communicate, could you please consider removing the melanoma on my left elbow and the one on my right wrist? If not, I will have to go and make an appointment tomorrow to see my regular doctor. So I went to bed, I fell asleep. I woke up in the morning, the two melanoma on my left elbow completely disappeared. The one on my right wrist had a slight red line around the periphery where it had been, and that disappeared by lunchtime. So, but obviously I had to ask. They wouldn't have done that without me asking. But again, when you've got that help and assistance, because you have an understanding that there are things that we don't understand. And there's a whole chapter on healings from the extraterrestrials in Beyond Humans by Ray Hernandez. It's a fascinating chapter. And there are many people that get healed by the extraterrestrials because they ask. It's as simple as that. And again, what you mentioned earlier, you have to believe in it as well. So, yeah, I did have to have a new hip once. I wasn't able to heal that, and they weren't able to do that. So I went through the regular system and had a new metal hip. So, but that's about 20-odd years ago now. So I'm bionic now. So, yeah.
So you're bionic.
Well, that, you know, you get the old sniffles and sore throat and things, but they heal quickly because you're positive and you enjoy being.
Well, I have to say I've had many healings, many, many healings, simply because I've asked for it or I have witnessed it happening with my consciousness. I just go in and sort of put light in there and just watch what happens. But there are some things that don't shift, that just don't buzz. So it budge. So it's not everything, like the moles. I get the moles. Like I've got lots of moles, and I say to them, can you just remove those moles? I've been thinking about it for years to have them taken off. And they don't go. So, but they're not, you know, they're not sick. They're not cancerous. They're just moles that I don't want on my body. And they're not going to take them off. Maybe that's a vanity thing more than a sickness thing. We've got 15 minutes to go. Have you got anything sort of pressing that you want to share with people before we wind it up? And Kevin's also going to pop on Zoom with us after the show. We're going to have a meeting in the Inner Sanctum, which is the online sessions that I put on. So if you want to meet Kevin face to face, I've sent the Zoom link out to my email list, and hit me up on Messenger or hit Kevin up on Messenger. He's got the Zoom link and you can pop on Zoom. But anything pressing that you want to share with us? The second book, what's happening in the second book?
Yeah, recently I've been going to some CE5 groups locally with a friend of mine, Gary, and while I was there, I did a meditation with Melanie Barton, and I spoke with Art, came through and spoke to us. We then went outside to do the CE5, and then Gary's got some radios that he uses, which was first introduced by Jimmy Blanchett, and we were sat outside, and the radio in front of me started chirping. So I said to Gary, why is the radio chirping? He said, oh, they want you to speak into the radio. So I spoke into the radio. And I was taking it quite lightly. I said, is there anybody there? And it chirped once for yes. So because I'd been speaking to Art, I said, is that Art? And it chirped once for yes. So then Melanie, who sat next to me, said, can you give us a verbal communication? And a female voice was heard. So I thought, perhaps that's D. So I asked, is that D? Chirped yes. So I thought, wow, so we're now speaking with Art and Dee. We had conversation with them for about 10, 15 minutes. We asked them to show us a craft in the northern sky and flash three times, and they did. So now we've got telepathic communication, we've got a channel with them, and now we're communicating using the techniques by Jimmy Blanchett using radios. So that's direct contact with extraterrestrials with three modalities of contact. I think that's just fascinating. And we've touched briefly on physical contact on two occasions at Gary's. Someone was touched on the shoulder, and one was touched on the leg physically while they were doing the CE5s. So they are reaching out to us. And I know my friend Aurora, the Council of Eight, are reaching out to her now through her channeled artwork. And that, again, is on the Exoconscious Human website, which is exoconsciousHumans.com. You can see Aurora's artwork. See the Council of Eight, how they are depicting themselves to Aurora. The vibrant, the colours, the energies, the consciousness within the portraits jumps out at you. and you can feel them. Yeah. So
I wanted to show those pictures on the show today, but we didn't get that happening. So yeah, the exoconsciousHuman.com, you can see them there. Because I saw them on another show that you did recently. Who was that with?
They were different photographs. They were depictions by Kathleen Marden. She drew the Council of Eight as she saw them and as I saw did them she? In the physical. And what Aurora's done are the channeled ones from the Council of Eight themselves. And so they're depicting their energies within the, so they're a totally different depiction of the eight. So, but obviously that both are valid, but very interesting to compare the two, really. Yeah.
The two, yeah. So what do the council say to you in your downloads, in your channelings, about where humanity is at this stage in our evolutionary process? Because a lot of people are going, terrible things are happening and, you know, planet Earth's doomed. And some people will say, oh, no, it's all love and light. What do they say to you about how we're doing?
Okay, well, they're saying we've just created a new timeline. There was a Hopi timeline, which it had a fork in the road. One went to the extinction of humanity, and the other one went to the golden years for humanity. We now, through the exoconscious community, have created the new timeline, which is still moving towards the golden years for humanity. And we've been able to do that because we have an understanding of co-creation and creation through the void of consciousness, and that's why we were given that information. So we are on the right path. We are moving forward towards the reveal globally, and once we do that, our ET star families will share their technologies with us. They will help us evolve as a species. They will help us evolve an understanding of consciousness, as I do. I'm able to communicate with them at their level of consciousness. We will have new technologies for healing. We will have an understanding of how we can heal ourselves through thought and consciousness. Really positive, exciting times ahead. We've also been given permission from our ancestral indigenous peoples to land our extraterrestrial crafts on their sacred land. And that's come from the indigenous people's ancestors. And there's a channel I recently did on the exoconscious community that's explains all this. So if you're interested in that, go on to, again, exoconsciousHumans.com, have a look at the channel and see what you think. I think it's very exciting times ahead, because we've reached this level now to where we have an understanding of creation and co-creation. And that's the important part, because we are creating the future. We are co-creating the timeline for the reveal globally of our ET star family's ambassador's presence. So that's where I'm working towards with us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming up so fast. I mean, I know that a few years ago, your guide said that there was going to be a reveal, and you went to New York and it didn't exactly happen the way it was supposed to, but there was some test that they were doing with you, like if we give you instructions, will you do it or something? I can't remember how that happened.
Yes, I remember that. I was given a date and time. They wanted to meet with our United Nations in New York. Right. I did contact them, but again, it was part of a test, I think, to see if I would convey these messages. I did. I went to New York on that weekend, and they didn't materialize. But the information was given to a friend of mine, Terry Lovelace, the exact same information. And he contacted the same office in Washington, D.C. at the UN as I did, because he knew Dr. DePippo there. So the information, and very often that happens, we get confirmation of the information from two sources. Otherwise, it's just one person saying these things. And on this occasion, it's been like my downloads. Carrie McLeod now of the exoconscious community, she's got all the same scientific downloads that I have from the Council of Eight. And again, that's confirmation that we have direct communication from this council. And there are other councils here, other beings that are helping to assist with our evolution. And that's what's happening. So, I'm very excited for the future, and I don't think it's going to be too long because we've only got a few minutes
left on this live show, but we're going to continue the conversation on Zoom for a little while after this. if you want to join us. But I you know how you said that you were you were shown your next incarnation on Earth. Obviously, it's in a time in the future where there's been some. What does the Earth look like then? Like, what's life on Earth look like in the not too distant future when we do expand our consciousness?
Well, it looked very much the same. I don't think it's too far in the. I hope it's far in the future. That means that my lifetime is going to be shortened. But nothing had really changed in respect to except the fact people were happy. Where I was in Brazil, there was a large celebration. People were happy, and that's where I met this new future wife to be, as it were. But I was shown that it was Sandy's soul. So that's all I saw, really. I didn't explore the planet. It was just okay. This small celebration of people who were happy, and I met this.
You don't. I guess you weren't told what year it was.
No, they didn't tell me the year or when, but from the location, it didn't look, you know, like 10, 20, maybe 30 years in the future, possibly.
It didn't look too far off.
Yeah,
you're coming right back. One of our members of our Inner Sanctum group left her left her body in December last year, and we were channeling her on a show recently, and she said she had a really tough life. She was sick and she was homeless and poor, and she had a really tough time. She said she can't wait to come back here. She's not even going to be born as a baby. She's going to come in as a walk-in. And it was funny, the message that was relayed to was to a psychic, Sandy, that was contacting her in spirit. And Sandy had actually never heard of walk-in, and she said she's saying something to me that I don't understand. She said, is it possible to come to Earth and not be born as a baby, like come to Earth as a human? Like, how does that work? And it's like, yep, as a walk-in, you know, one soul leaves, the other one takes on the human form. Like, thanks, I'll take that body. And, yeah, she just can't wait to get back. So it's interesting with all the dilemmas that we're going through on planet Earth, lots of spirit, whether they've been here before or they've just come for the first time, can't wait to be here. So good times are coming, Kevin, good times. Community, connection, psychic ability, yeah, lots of community. Because it sounds like that when you're in Brazil, you're in a community.
Yes, oh, yes, without a doubt, yes. I'm actually there on a stag do, believe it or not, with a group of male friends having a stag do. So that's about all the information I've got, really. But I hope it's not going to be soon. I hope it. I want to live until I'm 95, because my grandfather lived until he was 94. He was fit and healthy, obviously, until he died. So I want to outlive him and live to 95. So that's my goal. That's what I'm working towards.
Oh, beautiful. Well, we've got 2 minutes left. Anything you want to say to people before we end the live?
No, I think I've covered most of the things. I'm writing a new book with a couple of people from the exoconscious community, and I entered a competition last year, the Robert Bigelow Evidence in Life After Human Physical Death, and I'm going to include that essay that I entered into the competition. I didn't win the competition, but I was allowed to enter it, and so I'm going to publish that along with some other things with Karen and Aurora.
And what's the new book about?
About consciousness, really, about updating to where we are, and about the Council of Eight and communication using consciousness. So it should be very interesting.
Fabulous, fabulous. Does it include any of your stories, like the first one, or is it more technical?
I don't know yet. We've got so many words done so far, and I'll see how many we've got, and then if I need to fill it out, I've got some other experiences I haven't spoken about yet, which are quite interesting. I could put them in the book to make it more interesting. But there's a lot of information within the essay. It was a 20,000-word essay for the competition. I didn't win. I think Jeffrey Mishlove won the competition. The honour of being allowed to enter was great. So
that's fantastic. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's always a joy and a pleasure to talk with you. You are amazing, one of my favourite people on the planet. An extraterrestrial consciousness or highly evolved consciousness in a human form, loving his physical. Remember, if you want to chat with Kevin on Zoom, we're going to pop into the Zoom room now. either send me an email. I don't know if I'll be able to receive the emails, but I'll check them, or on Messenger on Facebook, or if you know Kevin, you know, talk to Kevin on Messenger on Facebook, and he'll give you the Zoom link. Thank you, gorgeous one. I just loved having you on the show again. I'm going to have you again and again.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it. I do. Thank you.
And remember, Kevin's also got a website, kevinjbriggs.com, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Bye. Bye.